On this Memorial Day, we're reminded of those who have fought and died in order to preserve the freedoms which we so cherish, and may we never take those freedoms for granted. And some of those freedoms seem to be eroding, not the least of which is the freedom of speech. As we think of what's going on in our culture right now, if you have a dissenting voice, it seems to be squelched. If you are on a social media platform, you could be shut down because those who oversee that disagree and don't like what you have to say. And it's startling to think that that is going on in our culture, which has historically been known for the freedom of speech. And our freedoms are grounded in that, and we need to be willing to take a stand. As we're learning here, as we study the book of Daniel, we're learning how to do that. Daniel was a man who took a stand. We saw that in chapter 1. We're seeing that here in chapter 2. We're going to see that through his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in chapter 3. So we're seeing this, and we're going to learn how to take a stand, but I think it's coming our way as to where we must take a stand in the face of adversity. I know some of our folks are reading this book. I think it's a must read for Christians in our culture right now, and that's We Will Not Be Silenced by Erwin Lutzer. And he deals with what is going on in our culture right now. I'm about halfway through it. I just read the chapter on the importance of free speech and its foundation to our freedoms. But I would encourage you to read that. We Will Not Be Silenced by Erwin Lutzer. It's very eye-opening and very informative as to what we are going through right now and some whys behind that. But as I think of all of this, you know that many in the military, our military, faced impossible odds, like that of D-Day. I think of that on D-Day. I can't imagine the orders that were given to storm the beaches at Normandy, and for many just facing the loss of their lives, but willing to do so, to fight for the freedoms that are so important to us and that so often we do take for granted. Many paid the ultimate price by giving their lives, and it's only by grace, providence, and the provision of God that the United States has prevailed to be the great nation that it is, and we thank God for that, and we must thank God and praise Him for that. Again, last week we learned that Daniel faced that which was impossible, literally impossible, when in chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, Nebuchadnezzar makes an unreasonable, impossible demand of the sorcerers and the magicians, the men who are considered the wise men, the intellectuals of his day. And this would be like the president and his cabinet, his closest advisors in our culture. And Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah were included in that bunch. And the unreasonable request, the impossible demand was, I had a dream. And I want you to tell me what that dream means, but I'm not going to tell you what my dream is. You must tell me my dream and then tell me what it means. And if you don't, I will kill you. It's like, you've got to be kidding. How in the world can we interpret your dream when you won't even tell us what it is? This king was a self-consumed, brash, arrogant hothead. And he shows his true colors right here. And Daniel hears of the king's desire and his intentions to kill the sorcerers, the magician, the wise men. Now, Daniel wasn't a sorcerer or a magician. He was a godly man who was considered, along with his friends, to be the cream of the crop of those who were taken from Jerusalem in the deportation to Babylon In Jerusalem, he was considered royalty. He was of nobility. He was like a prince. We see that. You can look that back at that in Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. The king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. So they were cream of the crop. They were brought into Babylon and they were brainwashed. And upon the completion of their training, or I should say attempted brainwashed, they were considered the king's advisors along with the sorcerers, the magicians, the Chaldeans. And as a result, they were slated to be killed along with those others. And last week, we pointed out that Daniel did not panic when he heard this news. And upon hearing of his scheduled execution, he didn't panic, but he made a plan. And central to his plan was to organize a prayer meeting with his friends. He prayed in faith, believing. Look at chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. They appealed to the God of heaven. It's important to understand that differentiated their God from the pagan gods, the God of heaven, the true God. And it is to the true God to whom you must turn in your time of need, whatever that need may be. And I just encourage you here this morning to think about whatever that may be right now. I like to say from a hangnail to a Holocaust, right? We could go around the room and say, what are you working through? What are you dealing with? What are the challenges that you're facing right now? And we'd hear a lot of different ones, some seemingly minor to others, but others just like overwhelming, impossible from a human standpoint. And I would like for you to think of that this morning as we go through our time together and think about how what we're learning here today will apply to your life situation. He is the one who is in control. He is the one to whom you must turn in your time of need. It is His desire that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom He will. How appropriate to seek the face of the Lord when you don't know. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what lies before me. I must trust in You. How appropriate to pray that kind of prayer. And that's what we see here as these men gathered to pray, to ask Him to work, to ask Him to intervene, to ask Him to provide. And prayer is an indication of humility because you're expressing your dependence upon the One who is greater. That's capital O-N-E. The One who is greater. Almighty God, you go to Him in prayer for all things at all times, praying without ceasing. You know, as I thought of that over the years, you know, we've tried to clarify, it's not just a matter of walking around with your heads bowed and your eyes closed and bumping into walls, right? Praying without ceasing is staying connected. You have a prayer, you have a concern, you hear a concern, pray about that. Stay connected with God. In the moment, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, in the moment, God, it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out prayer, but just, God, I need Your help right now. I need Your wisdom right now. Whatever it is, stay connected with God. And get in that habit. It's not just, well, I have my morning prayers, I pray at meals, and I have my bedtime prayers. That might be a lot for some of you right now, you know, you think, oh, I never didn't think about that. But those are good times to pray. But I encourage you to get in the habit of praying in the moment. God, help me. Thank you, God. You're so good. I see you at work in this situation, and I trust in you. Stay connected in the moment. Daniel, we're learning, is a man of prayer. And right here out of the gate, we're seeing that Daniel right away goes to God in prayer, calls a prayer meeting with his friends. He, in faith, went to the Lord, confidently believing that God's got this. Remember, God's got this, whatever your this is, right? God's got this. So, he has this attitude, he has this thinking, he goes to the Lord in prayer. What in the world then happened as a result of this prayer meeting? Look at chapter 2, verse 19. Then they go to prayer, having this prayer meeting. Daniel lays his head on his pillow that night. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. It was like Daniel redreamed Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I don't know how it came about or what happened, but he redreams Nebuchadnezzar's dream. God reveals the dream to him. And what's interesting to me as I was going through this is this phrase in the text is almost uneventful. Look at the verse again, chapter 1. Had the prayer meeting. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. You know, you would think it was like, okay, Daniel heard rumbling and he saw lights flashing and all this wonderful, amazing things happened and God revealed the dream. No, it's just God revealed the dream to Daniel in a vision of the night. This phrase is almost uneventful. It's like it should be expected that God answered the prayers of Daniel and company, and it should be expected God does answer prayer. It shouldn't surprise us. We should see that happening around us all the time and recognize that. Now, God answers prayer, yes, no, and wait. And Charles Stanley says, God answers prayer, yes, no, and wait, and my grace is sufficient for you. Right? I love that because sometimes we just need the sufficient grace of God to get us through our time of need, whatever that may be. And in this situation, God revealed the mystery to Daniel. I mean, that's exciting. And he reveals Nebuchadnezzar's dream and its interpretation of that dream to Daniel. God accomplished for Daniel that which was humanly impossible for Daniel to accomplish. And so then Daniel responds appropriately. And he praises Almighty God. Look at verse 19. It says, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. It was like, wow, thank you, Lord. He wakes up, it's like he blessed the Lord of heaven. Like, thank you, God. Do you get excited when God answers your prayers? It's good and right for you to do that. Thank you, God. I just rejoice in your watching out for me, watching over me in this situation. And the true believer can do that. If you're here today or you're watching, listening, and you don't know the Lord, I want to impress upon you the fact that you were created to worship. We're all created to worship, and you are always worshiping something, and that something should be someone who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God. But only those who truly believe can truly worship. And one reason we can truly worship is because we recognize that we are sinners separated from God for eternity apart from salvation through Jesus Christ. That's what we deserve. We deserve eternal death, eternal separation from God, but by His grace, He saves us. If we believe. And when you do that, when you realize that God has saved you, it's like, yes, thank you, God. You worship him out of a grateful heart. And then you see God in the every moments of your everyday, right? And you rejoice in that. And it encourages you as you become aware of the work of God in your life and in your life around you, what's going on around you. And you give back to him his glory. Now, Daniel didn't take answered prayer for granted. And he doesn't take any glory for himself. He doesn't wake up and go, oh man, I need to get to the king and tell him what I've discovered. Like as if he had anything to do with it. He trusted in Almighty God. And in the following verses 20 down through 23, we listen in on an appropriately humble response to answered prayer. God answers prayer, and he's responding here. We're going to listen in here. So here's your take-home thought this morning, and that is, when you witness the awesome power of God, make sure that you give him the glory. When you witness the awesome power of God, make sure that you give him the glory. Now, that might seem obvious, especially given this text. But I think there are times when we witness the awesome power of God and we almost take it for granted. We don't acknowledge God in that. We might like, wow, this is great. But to literally respond to God, I think of just safety throughout the day. You know, when you lay your head on the pillow at night, you just, God, thank you. And you think about all the things that could have happened. And maybe there was a close call, right? Earlier in that day, it's like, whew. But you know what? And I'll tell you what, don't dwell on all of that because you could get paranoid, right? You don't want to live in fear, but I think it's an appropriate recognition to say, God, thank you. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes throughout my day, but thank you that I'm safely lying my head on the pillow tonight. And don't take that for granted. I think of life and health, just the routine abilities, the ability to, you know, to breathe the air we breathe. You probably haven't even thought about that even while you're sitting here right now. And until you lose that ability, you know, have you ever had the wind knocked out of you? And your eyes get real big, and you're, you know, right? I've had that happen, you know. You've had that happen, like, I can't catch my breath. Some in our congregation experience that, maybe regularly in the sense of having lung problems and so on, but you just thank the Lord for life and health, right? Just thank you, Lord. How appropriate it is to rejoice in that. Or the circumstances of life. You know, call them coincidences. Think of that great theologian, Leroy Jethro Gibbs on NCIS. Rule number 39, there are no coincidences, right? No such thing as a coincidence. So we thank God for his providence, for his provision, his control, his sovereignty. Thanking him for how he worked and orchestrated that which goes on in your life. Thanking the Lord, praising him for his job, for your income, for gifts, for the conveniences of life. When you witness the awesome power of God, make sure that you give him the glory. So we want to look at this appropriate response to answered prayer. We're going to look at six elements of that response. It says there in verse 20, Daniel answered and said, so here's the response, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. The first element is praising the character of God, praising God for who he is. When the name of God is referenced, it indicates all for which he stands. You think of, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, and all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not just a tack on the end of your prayer. You are praying because of Jesus and for all for which he stands. And in the same way, we rejoice in the name of God. The following verses delineate and highlight certain attributes of God, which, by the way, help you to know God. God reveals himself through his word and in part through his attributes. God has revealed himself through creation. That's called general revelation. You can read about that in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. I was walking over here early this morning, and I looked up and I saw the moon. It was light outside, but I could still see the moon. And I literally said, "Thank you, Lord." It's just awesome. You know, his creation tells you something about who he is. When you hear the thunder or the crashing of the waves, it's, wow, that's powerful. So there's something that can be known about God through general revelation, but he has provided special revelation through the Lord Jesus Christ and through his word. That's called special revelation. And you can read about the special revelation in Psalm 19 as well as throughout the rest of the scriptures. But God has revealed himself through his word. And to understand the Lord Jesus Christ, you're given his word, and that helps you understand who he is as well. So you can know God through his word as he has revealed himself through his attributes. Those are things that are attributed to him, things that describe him. So you get to know him. You can grow to know him by studying his works and how he works. You know, you read in Exodus that he parted the Red Sea. And it's like, wow. And all those people, the nation of Israel, upwards of 2 million people at that time, were able to cross on dry land. The Red Sea was parted. That tells you something about the power of God overnight. You can understand as you recognize what he does when he saved your soul. That's nothing less than the almighty power of God. It tells you something about his works and how he works. It tells you something about God. Another way you can know God is by his names. And here it says, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." You learn something about who he is by how he describes himself with his names. And here in verse 18, he's called the God of heaven. Again, differentiating himself from all the pagan gods. So you want to know God. Study his attributes. Study his works. Study his word. Study his attributes. Study his names. He's called Elohim. Elohim has a universal emphasis. It's kind of a universal understanding that he is the God of the universe, of all things. The name Yahweh is a more personal reference, most used in Scripture in reference to his relationship with his people, Israel specifically. He's called Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He breathed forth his creation through his word. He's Creator. El Shaddai, God Almighty. El Olam, God Everlasting. El Roy, God of Seeing. El Elyon, God Most High. In this verse, you discover his eternality. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. And he is blessed and to be praised forever. He is eternal. Not just like we are created and will have everlasting life. He did not have a beginning. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So his name is forever. So this should encourage you regarding stability. He's not here today and gone tomorrow. He's forever. He has that staying power. When someone is here today and gone tomorrow, you tend to view them as untrustworthy. So his faithfulness is to be praised. You also see here his wisdom. He's an all-wise God. He knows what's best for you in your particular situation. We see here his might, his power, that he has the power to work in all things. He's working all things together for your good. That says something about the power, the wisdom, and might of God. So praise God for his character. A second element is to acknowledge the sovereignty of God. You see in verse 21 there, he changes times and seasons. That initially made me think of, oh, he's in control of the calendar. He's in control of the weather. He takes care of all that, spring, summer, fall, and winter. He takes care of all of that, and that's true. However, the phrase most probably is a preview of the fact that God is the one who establishes kingdoms, as well as the rule and reign of those who rule on those thrones, and for how long? Because the next phrase says, he removes kings and sets up kings. That the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. God is in control of who rules and for how long. Regardless to your opinion of our current administration, our current president, God has allowed him to be in office for a reason. And it may very well be, with all that's going on for us, one reason might be to strengthen us to stand and to speak up. A lot of moral issues at stake here. We can't back down. We must stand for truth. And God gives, and this book, Daniel, God gives direction to us on how to do that through this book as we witness Daniel and his testimony. It goes on to say, he gives wisdom to the wise. God is the source of wisdom. You know someone who's smart, or you think you're smart? God is the one who gives you smarts. And knowledge to those who have understanding. Some are smart. Some are wise. That's the ability to apply smarts to living life. Some people, they can memorize and they can remember things, but other people just seem to know how to live life, right? But it's God who provides those abilities. In verse 22, he reveals deep and hidden things. God is the one who let Daniel in on the hidden dream of Nebuchadnezzar and its meaning. And so Daniel here acknowledges in humility that he was dependent upon God for all things. It is he who gives wisdom, who reveals the deep and hidden things. And he acknowledges the fact that God's got this. Here's a third element, and that is recognizing the omniscience of God. Verse 22, it goes on to say, he knows what is in the darkness, which indicates that which is difficult to understand or discover. You can turn to Psalm 139. That's the passage that says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, verses 11 and 12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, speaking about God. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. God knows the answers to life's problems. Even those difficult math problems. teaching difficult mathematics is not racist. Okay? Because it's the God is a God of truth, and he establishes the laws of physics and mathematics and thermodynamics and all those other things I don't understand. Some of you do, and be assured that God does, and he has allowed mankind to discover those truths, those principles those essentials to these studies. You engineers, we got a lot of engineers here at FBC. You know that if you get the equation wrong, or you choose the wrong element for the bridge or the airplane, that there could be disastrous results, right? You know, how would you like it if your accountant or the accountant at your office got the decimal point wrong and your check was $123 instead of $1,230? Eh, no big deal. You know, doesn't matter where the decimal point goes. You know, you wouldn't be too happy about it, right? You know, right answers do matter. There is truth. There is absolute truth. And there is capital T truth that we find in the Word of God. Right answers do matter. He reveals what is in darkness. God knows all things, including that which we deem hidden. And that's why we need to read, why we need to study, why we need to pray. So here's the fourth element, and that is identifying God as the source of truth. And the light dwells with Him. Yes, all truth is God's truth. And we need to measure truth against or by the unchanging Word of God. Praise God for His all-sufficient Word. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has granted for us all things pertaining to life and godliness through His Word. We conducted the seminar on mental health. And we learned that God's Word speaks to the issues of life. Specifically, we were talking to the issue of anxiety and depression. God's Word speaks to those issues and gives us direction and great hope. A fifth element here is praising God for revelation. Verse 23, "To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might." Daniel acknowledges God as the same God of his fathers. Not a God of the sorcerers or of all the other many gods there in Babylon, but of the God of his fathers was the one upon whom he was trusting. And he praises God for wisdom and might, which was needed in the moment. Again, God provides what you need in the moment. We might think, man, I don't know how I could ever go through fill in the blank regarding a difficulty. It just would seem overwhelming. But he says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. In the heat of that moment, his grace is sufficient to help you in your time of need. Again, this speaks to the sufficiency of his word. Here's the final element here, and that is verse 23 says, "And have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." The sixth element is rejoicing in answered prayer. Rejoicing in answered prayer. Daniel rejoices in the Lord for providing the knowledge of his dream and its interpretation. When you experience God answering your prayers, how appropriate to worship with adoration and praise. And as you worship, we've learned about worship here today in part, but worship is essential to a vibrant relationship with God. And I hope these truths here help you as you look at this and you evaluate how God has worked in your life and you recognize who He is and how He has worked, that you will say, wow, thank you, God, and that would strengthen your relationship with Him. As you recognize His nature through His Word, His works, His name, His attributes, you grow to know Him in a greater way, you draw closer to Him, and you praise Him with a vibrant, it's a genuine, it's a real, it's not put on, it's not fake, it's genuine that you're truly trusting in the God who knows and cares for your every need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Your word is truth. And thank you that we can rely upon you in the challenges and difficulties that we face in life, and we all face them, big ones and small ones. And you answer prayer. Thank you that we can have that kind of confidence when we and then to understand your greatness, your power, your majesty. Why would we ever even fear? Because we could look and trust you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just encourage you to consider, remember that thing, whatever that it is that I asked you to focus in upon, to take what we've learned here today and say, you know what? I need to trust God through this. I need to trust God through it. And we've learned today here how you can respond to God as you pray and ask his help. I encourage everyone to fill out a connection card. You can do that at our entrances here and place it in the offering receptacle. Again, thank you for your faithful giving. You can also fill it out online and digitally and give digitally as well. Thank you again for doing so and doing so faithfully.